It is blessed news indeed that we have to tell to you again today, dear listener. How vast, how full, how free, the mercy of our God. Proclaim the blessed news around and spread it all abroad. This is our desire, once again, in bringing forth these few moments with the book. And we wish today to tell you the good news concerning a God who delights to show mercy. Now, mercy is his favor that's shown to the miserable. Sin has certainly made men miserable. The whole world is miserable. The whole world is sick. And the reason is sin has produced this in the human heart and in the scene all around us. But God, the God against whom men have sinned, a God who is not loved, who is in fact hated, a God who is not believed in, the God who is not wanted, is the God who is rich in mercy toward all men. He is still long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And he has provided a remedy for man's sin. In mercy, he has brought forth what men need, what you need, dear listener. If you have not yet come to him in faith and received of his provision, I delight to tell you that this mercy still flows out so vast, so full, so free today. Let me take you back in thought to an incident in Israel's history in the Old Testament. And you will remember that the Old Testament stories are true stories of happenings in connection with God's people of Israel, but they were written for our learning. And God has in them given us pictures of his salvation. Now in the 17th chapter of Exodus we read, "And when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, there was no water for the people to drink." What a condition! 2.5 million people and their cattle were left without water. Certainly this could not go on very long. Man needs water to survive. And how true it is that this pictures for us man's spiritual need. Without Christ, the water of life, men are hopeless. Now you notice that the condition was such that there was nothing in the wilderness to provide this. And this is true of the condition of the world today. There is nothing in this world of natural resources, this world ruined by sin, that can meet the spiritual need of man's soul. Furthermore, we read in regards to the condition of the people. They chided against Moses. They tempted the Lord. Is not this the condition of man's heart today, enmity against God? Sin causes men to hate God and not to desire God, to tempt God, not to believe God. And yet God is merciful. What did he do in Israel's day? Oh, how wonderful to see that this God against whom men have spoken, against whom men have sinned, is a God who desires man's well-being. He says to Moses in verse 6, he says, "I stand on the rock, and you stand there too, Moses, and you take the rod that's in thine hand, and you smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." Now this was God's answer to man's sin in Israel's day. Their rebellion, their murmuring, their chiding, their tempting. And oh, how it just faintly pictures to us God's answer to man's rebellion and sin today. It takes us back to the cross of Calvary. We have not to use our own speculation as to the meaning of this picture. The Spirit of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 through the Apostle Paul tells us, in regards to this incident, "They did all, that is, the children of Israel, drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So we do not have to speculate. It is clearly stated that the rock that Moses smote in his day, from which water came forth that the people could drink and have their need met, is figurative, is a picture of Christ who was smitten on the dry place of Calvary. The rock in Moses' day was in Horeb, and it means a dry place. And oh, the place where Christ was crucified was the place of a skull, Golgotha. And there where he was lifted up, there where he was crucified and smitten, the rod that Moses used was that which opened the Red Sea. It was a rod of judgment. It speaks to us of the judgment of God against sin. He's a holy God. He cannot look upon sin. That same rod was taken by Moses to smite the rock. And Christ was smitten at Calvary by the rod of God's judgment in order that he might be satisfied in the payment of sin, and that he might thereby judge sin in the substitute, that the sinners might go free. The rock was smitten that Israel could drink. Christ was crucified that you could be saved. God has done the work. All has been done. And we are thankful to tell you today in the good news that mercy is free, and mercy flows as a river. In the language of the psalmist of Psalm 105 and verse 41, we have this set forth in these words. He, referring to Jehovah, opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. How beautifully this suggests and pictures for us the abundance of supply, and also the heart of God flowing out. There is no limit. It runs freely. The children of Israel had all abundantly sufficient to satisfy their need. And in the work of Calvary, dear friend, I delight to tell you today that we have all that is necessary to meet the need of all. How vast, yes, how vast, whoever will may drink at mercy's stream, our song tells us. And know that faith in Jesus brings salvation e'en to him. When the children of Israel saw the waters running in that dry places, having gushed out, it was open to every single one. There were no restrictions, whether young or old, or poor or rich. And so the same thing is true today. As a result of the work of Calvary, we have the good news of mercy going out to whosoever will. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. God's grace and God's mercy is even for you. And it is still flowing. That's the point. Get it? It has been flowing for centuries. It is still flowing today. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever may drink at mercy's stream. Drinking is putting faith in Christ. It is receiving, it is personally appropriating for your need. And this is what you need. You need the water of life. Without it, you are hopeless. Without it, you will die in your sins. Without it, you are not even now enjoying what really life is. You need the water of life. And remember, there's nothing in this world. You have proven it. Be honest, be frank with yourself, one pleasure after another, honor, position, wealth, nothing can give it to you. You need that which Christ alone can and has supplied for you in the water of life. He died to procure it. God offers it to whosoever will, and that means you. How full, oh how full, it doth remove the stain of every sin, and leave the conscience white and pure as though no sin had been. How full, how abundant. We read that all the children of Israel drank. There was an abundance of supply. Their needs were met. God in his mercy had come in. He met their sin with his mercy. And this is a God who can take care of the deepest need. Regardless of how little you may have sinned, you do need this mercy, and it is available to you. But regardless of how much you have sinned, do you perhaps fear that you have sinned too greatly? Perhaps Satan is seeking to bring you to despair and say, oh, it's hopeless. Oh, I'll tell you, dear friend, the devil may deceive you, but God wants you to know that he receives even the devil's castaways. Yes, he does. His mercy is even for you. The vilest sin is removed by this remedy that God has provided. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. It is that which has been affected by the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ at Calvary. And this remedy is for you. It removes the stain of every sin. And this must be the condition that you're brought to if you are to enter heaven. You must have your sins forgiven. You must have your sins removed. Baptism will not do it. Turning over new leaves will not do it. Becoming religious will not do it. Nothing that you can do. That which alone can meet the need of your soul and remove your sin and make you fit for God is the work of Calvary. And this we see in the smiting of the Lamb of God, the rock, and the result of the waters gushing forth. And it is for you to get the benefit by faith. Yes, it will leave your conscience white and pure, as though no sin had been. How free! It asks no price, for God delights to give. Oh, how wonderful it was for the child of Israel. He had only to avail himself. He was not taxed. He was not assessed. Did not have to pay water rent. All he had to do was to stoop and drink. And in doing so, he lived. This is what pictures for us God's heart going out in his provision for you and what salvation is. Salvation is his gift. No, gift is free. You don't pay for a gift. And we read in regards to salvation, eternal life, that which you need. The gift of God is eternal life. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, this is what God says, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You are too poor to buy God's salvation, and God is too rich to sell it. He offers it free. He has procured it at a tremendous cost. It is not a cheap salvation. And though it doesn't cost you anything, it has cost God his Son. And it cost his Son his life, which he willingly gave. All the horrors of Calvary, the depths of anguish of his soul. Oh, the forsaking of God, the smiting of the rod against him, the holy, sinless Lamb of God. Oh, what a price! Let me ask you to consider this. Calvary was for you. It was necessary. Your sins were so vile and so bad that no other remedy could meet the need that they incurred. But the blessed Son of God has finished it. He has borne the judgment, and he as the rock has been smitten for you, and salvation results. The waters gush out. God's heart of love is told out now for you to simply to stoop and drink and live. It only says a simple thing. And what is stooping and drinking? Believe on Christ and live. I believe in the stooping to drink of these waters that gushed. We have a picture of the attitude of repentance God calls us to. The humbling of the soul to get down before God and own his need. Have you ever done that? God calls you to this. God commands you to repent in view of the judgment that is coming. And then in repentance you own your need. And in drinking you receive what God has provided. It's just as simple as that. And what has God provided? What is salvation? It is the person of Christ. He is the eternal life. He is the one who died for you, who is offered for your acceptance. Drinking is receiving personally, appropriating that which meets your need. Believing on Christ is signified by drinking. Accepting him by faith as the one who died for you and rose again. Believe on Christ and live. Truly, it is a simple thing. God grant that today you will see that this mercy is so vast, so full, and so free. And it is indeed for you. God would have you come now. In fact, He commands you to it. Delay is dangerous, and to refuse is fatal. But He still lingers, and He would desire that you would come to Him, and you can come right where you are. Poor trembling sinner, come. God waits to comfort thee. Oh, cast thyself upon His love, so vast, so full, so free.